This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's a Monday.
Yep.
And it's cold. It's colder than it's been any other Monday. No, it's colder in Joburg today than it is in Bloemfontein. And that's saying something.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you're colder than Bloemfontein, you get some kind of award. Really? It's, what's it called?
Bloemfontein's kind of like where the wall is built. You can just imagine like white walkers coming through the fields of Bloem.
Speaking of that, am I the only person who gets really cold when I watch Game of Thrones? I get cold. I actually get freezing cold. I was in bed the other day watching it on my laptop.
We'll have to Google the symptoms for boredom and coldness.
I'm telling you. Ben hates Game of Thrones.
That's all right. That's allowed.
He's trying very hard.
No, you know what it actually is? It's like when people say to me, oh, Test cricket's so boring. I go, yeah, okay. That's how I feel about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's completely allowed.
I saw some of your...
I appreciate that.
Speaking of boring, I saw some golf yesterday.
Of boring.
And, are we going to turn this into a competition of what's
boring? Open championship, as always.
So, do you want to jump in with the Kardashians?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that ain't boring.
So, why don't we jump in with Sia's cell phone cover? What is
Listen.
Sia's got a rubber hot dog for his cell phone cover.
Is that a children's cell phone cover? What is that?
Who did you shake down for that?
Did you mug a 5-year-old?
and only you, Sia, could actually be allowed to pull something like that off.
For 5 marks, what is exactly wrong with this? Because I see nothing wrong. It's just a nice color.
Well, why don't we begin by describing it?
It's so
your camera's been blocked by this. Look, it's not even open for the camera.
I actually tried it, and the camera isn't fully blocked, so it's fine.
Every photo is going to have a yellow plastic tinge to it.
No, it's just like a little hot dog rubber
but
cover.
But you do realize that when you have the phone to your head, you have a sausage basically from the length of your mouth.
That's
to
what
your
makes
ear.
It cooler.
Which made, I don't know, maybe that's what you're going for.
It is the worst cell phone cover I've ever
Folks,
seen.
It is bringing color into my life. More color than I already have.
Please actually go. Get a photo of him holding it. Well, I'll do it. Please put it to
I'm
your face.
It. I've got it.
No, I want to get it to the face. Show that I've got the sausages.
How is this literally taking like 7 minutes of the show already?
No, well, I mean, it makes a statement, doesn't it?
Did you go and buy that? Did you actually buy that for money?
It was a gift.
From someone who really hates you?
No.
Oh.
I think, you know, it's quite cute. And so it's been sitting around for a while. And I was like, actually, why don't I? It's not exactly the most practical. I can't fit it in my pocket.
Yeah, how do you put that in your pockets?
Doesn't exactly work. And I want to see, evidently, I have seen how people don't take me seriously.
Why would you want that phone? Why would you want that? I mean, if someone gave that to me, I would give it back.
Well, I want to walk into a meeting using this, just like, hey, excuse me, I have a phone call to take.
You want to
seeing as you walk
stir.
Into meetings late, yeah, it'd be great.
No, you want people to ask you about it.
This is fantastical. This is absolutely fantastical.
Listen, what is that? What's that dancing hot dog thing that's been going around?
Dancing
I totally
hot
missed
dog?
Out on this. Amanda, you must know about it. There's this dancing hot dog guy that he's in Snapchat, I think. He pitches up on Snapchat the whole time, or you can use him as, you can put him into your pics or whatever.
I think he's quite cool, but I don't exactly know what it is.
I don't think anyone does.
I am completely lost here. I don't know. No. I don't know what we're talking about.
Snapchat.
It does headstands like, and everything.
Yeah, it's like a dancing hot dog.
It's like something you can add to whatever you're doing, your selfies, basically.
Oh, you mean like they did with those?
Like a filter.
It's a filter.
Yeah, okay. Like the dog ears and okay. stuff.
Correct. So how was everybody's weekend? I can hardly talk.
Well, you were in Cape Town.
Yeah, but I got back and I think I must have... I think I started getting sick already last week and I just ignored it and carried on.
Oh, no.
And then it's like turned into a scratchiness and then I woke up on Saturday morning and I was like, voice feels like it's going.
When did you get back?
Yesterday.
Did you stay in bed yesterday?
No.
Does this put you in pole position for most sickly of the year? Because I know last year we were going to have a competition around this.
I might actually have that pole position, yeah. Sickliest of 2017.
Yes.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, I had a fantastic time in Cape Town, though. I did all these experiments in a chemical lab.
Mm-hmm.
Filmed these videos, which is very cute and cool. And it's, you know, it's kind of for schools that where the teachers don't necessarily, they're not all necessarily science teachers. You know, we've got an education system in South Africa where we don't have a lot of specialization. So I, in the videos, show the teachers how to do the experiments, which they then show the kids.
But then here's the thing. Already when you film something, it's like a long day.
Oh, it was from 10 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I left straight after the show, went to the place we were filming. So it was from 10 in the morning until 5:30 in the afternoon.
Shucks.
Non-stop. I think 11, we broke 12, for 1, lunch.
2, 3, 4, 5, 7.5 hours.
Yeah. I know. Oh, look man. At this. I loved it. I mean, I'm a fan of that stuff. But chemistry. Then,
did you like have a script, or were you just speaking off the top of your head?
No, it was totally off the top of my head. So I had to actually know what was going on.
And you were doing what, like experiments? Okay, well, and
we did anion and cation testing in terms of flames in the for the positive
I'm lost.
Ions and salt precipitations with the negative ions. We did titrations. We did. Let me think.
Mabel, does this sound familiar?
Yeah, she knows about it. Okay. Acid-based redox reactions. We did gas production. Oops. We did.
So, if you were to melt a cell phone cover, what would that process be called?
It would be combustion, and it would be immediate. That thing would probably catch fire in 5 seconds. Anyway, I also caught up with a lot of friends in Cape Town over the weekend and had a very, very nice time. It's, you know, that place is just, people do not actually work there. They just play.
Oh.
Morning, noon, and night, they just play. I had the best sushi on Saturday night. The best.
Was that before or after your experimental pizza, which you committed to?
Oh, I must tell you what I did have. I didn't have an experimental pizza, but I had some amazing food at Kolkakia's on Friday night. Mm-hmm. with the founder, Michael. He just ordered like food and it just kept arriving.
Wasn't that Thursday?
Thursday night.
Correct. Yeah, we've been through it, Gareth. We had a goal. We had a quest for you here.
I know. You want me to try a different kind of pizza.
And you said, okay, fine, I'll do it. And right. Now you have not.
Here's
done.
The challenge. Is this week... you're going to take me to Kolkakia's and you're going to choose.
The window's gone, Gareth. You've shown absolutely no application to this challenge.
You think it's finished now?
No, it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah. We had our moment, and now it's gone.
See how much I care about that, Ben.
Well, you showed it from the start.
What else is going on? Who did something fun?
Well,
I want
to
talk about?
I did one of the ultimate no-nos.
What was that?
Which is...
In your book, what is that?
What?
No one's going to take me seriously already this week, I can already tell. Which was getting in between a relationship. So one of my friends was kind of having a rough patch with her boyfriend. And so she came to me on Friday night and was like venting. I was like, sure, yes. Let's talk about this bastard of a man. He's horrible, isn't he? You leave his ass.
And let me guess, they got back together.
Yesterday they did.
And now they both hate you.
Guess who is probably the bad person in the situation? I don't know why I was so stupid. Like, that is one of the ultimates. You just don't get involved in relationships,
never take sides. Ugh. Ever.
You must just sit there and listen and nod your head. And then when they ask you what you should do, you say, well, it's none of my business what you should do with your relationship.
Oh, no.
So right, you handle it.
You know, Dr. Phil could have been proud of me on Friday. I was asking about, like, and so how does that make you feel?
Yeah, that's okay. But the minute you start giving advice, alarm bells.
I was saying, he does not respect your worth.
Uh-oh.
You are better than this girl.
Uh-oh.
You need to.
Oh, my God. Now,
squirting a Beyonce song every 3
now
seconds.
Now the guy knows what you think of him.
Yeah.
And she knows what you think of him. And she also knows what you think of her. That's a ruined friendship.
It is so harsh, though, because you were being a good person. You really were. And you were speaking the truth. And what do you get out of it?
And like, why come to me then?
Exactly.
Because people just want to be listened to and they want someone to agree with them.
They just want attention. That's all they want. They just want attention.
Now I feel awkward, but anyway.
And especially people who go through relationship drama where there actually isn't any drama. You know, I mean, we've got like spouses who murder each other in South Africa. And he doesn't respect me because he didn't remember our four and a half week anniversary. And they create drama for themselves. He wouldn't let me watch the soap operas while he wanted to watch the tennis. I just don't know if I can stay in this relationship anymore. You're like, well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you two are actually just bored. You know people who create drama?
Yeah.
Like, he came home, he told me that he would be going to the shops, but then he ended up meeting his friends for drinks.
It's like a bad it's TV show. Now. It's like a contrived storyline.
It comes from watching too many soap operas. I'm telling you.
People. Well, this one was along the lines of like false promises.
Uh-oh. He said he'd take me to Mauritius.
I get that, but though. But then it's he frustrating. Took me to Kwa Kwa. Why promise it?
Ain't nothing
you,
wrong with that.
Oh, well, honey.
Well, Mauritius isn't Kwa
Kwa. Mauritius tavern.
Yeah.
Good enough. Speaking of which, Miss Kwa Kwa.
Yeah, how was it?
Yeah, look, I had to go home to like deal with like family crises and put out fires. So oh, no. It was by no means a fun weekend. Okay. But everything is under control.
Okay, good. You didn't pop in at the tavern?
No, there was no time.
You didn't see Skolopat?
Well, she's not really someone that I hang out with.
Lies.
Lies.
All you people
lies.
In all you people in Kwa Kwa know each other.
Yeah, sure. It's like that bar from that TV show Cheers where everyone knows your name.
Yes. Mauritius Tavern is exactly like that. Yes.
Plus, I mean, where else is Skolopat going to be? That's where she goes every week, isn't she?
Shame. On duty somewhere.
Yeah, she's a nurse.
Yeah.
God bless her for that. All right, and you, Ben, what did you do?
Gareth, Friday was a day where I probably should have stayed in bed.
What happened?
I crashed my drone quite badly.
Moron.
No.
So I'm doing this project on this golf course where I'm showcasing the transition from renovation to splendor. And I was just trying to get like an idea of a shot for what I wanted to get. And then this tree, literally, I mean, it just uprooted. It came out of nowhere. It ran after the drone and it clipped it. It was one of the most amazing sights of nature. And then the drone fell to the floor catastrophically. The tree laughed, went back into its roots like nothing happened. And I basically sat there in tears.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm so sorry. It's just that for all the times that, you know, a woman has been in a car accident and the guy says, did the tree jump out at you? Did the pole jump out at you? Like, this reminds me of that moment.
It was like just like it was like a momentary lapse of concentration.
Oh,
and
no.
And the gimbal's all shit, kind of man. Bent backwards. And
what's the gimbal?
That's the thing, the camera.
That's the thing that holds the camera. Mm-hmm. And it was just so, so sad because it was so, so avoidable. And I spent all of the week in Transky, like, becoming a pretty good drone pilot. Like, I was flying all kinds of things, different angles, different settings. And I go to the most basic place where there's a tree. And it really broke my heart because it's not like if you drop a coffee cup. Like, it's a pretty specialized piece of machinery, this. So I took it to get fixed on Saturday. And the woman who helped you at the desk, obviously, they don't care about drones. So here I am, basically holding over my new pet. Because it is. It's like, it's the most thing.
It's like a dead animal, yeah.
I've never loved something that doesn't, has never had a pulse like this in my whole life, right?
Oh.
And then she'd be like, yeah, I'll take 4 to 5 days to give you a quote. Because it's not like I can send it back to DJI, because in this country, we don't have official suppliers. We just have people who are registered, accredited dealers or whatever. So, I don't know. It's going to cost an absolute fortune. It's going to absolutely break my heart. And after that, I played like really crap golf too, and I got a blister on my foot. It was just a bad day.
Mm. These things can get insured, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. There is a process, sure.
Oof, yeah, because I can imagine getting a drone repaired. Oof.
And it's expensive stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also the timing of it, you know. Like, I'm looking to try branch out with my service offerings in life, and a drone is a big part of that. And now it's like basically breaking my hands. Now I can't write. Dramatic, I know, but it's up there.
Wow.
So that sucked. But the rest of the weekend was quite nice. Spent a lot of time with Daniela because I haven't seen her in quite some time. Well, been like 2 weeks. Yeah, watch a lot of golf.
Nice. I'm sorry about the drone. Let's have a moment of silence.
Yeah.
For and, Ben's
and
drone.
And damn that tree.
How dare it.
It's just jumping out.
It's just smug look about it. Like, I don't have any leaves, but I've still got an attitude. Screw you.
Outrageous. Well, let's all just take a moment to just mourn the loss of Ben's drone.
It's not dead yet.
Drizzy the drone.
Ben looks like he wants to burst in tears.
Hold it in, Ben.
You'll be strong.
Well, I'll tell you something I saw over the weekend, which my eyes almost popped out of my head. This Bell Pottinger story continues to infuriate me. There was a BBC, it's about a 9-minute documentary that they've released about what's going on in South Africa. The Guptas, the president, Bell Pottinger, all that stuff, and just how cynical that whole campaign was and how destructive it was. And it was just, looking at it from an outsider's point of view, you think, how could this happen? How did this happen? How did we allow this to happen? Are we so stupid? And in the middle of it, there's a clip where Andile Mritama starts talking smack with this British journalist, and you can't believe the puerile level of his rhetoric. It's like not even eighth class. It's so bad. It's the worst thing you will see. And you think, this guy used to be considered by some to be an intellectual. Some people thought that this guy had a valid point of view, and he might have once. Right now, his credibility is it's not just down the toilet. It's flowing past the lowest point of the sewers. It's so bad. Yo. And it just made me furious again to have to see this stuff. Anyway, there was that. Apparently, a lot of people who were booked for Linkin Park shows. I love this. A bunch of people who were going to go to Linkin Park shows. Instead of asking for refunds for their tickets, they've asked for the money that would have come to them from refunds to go to charities to prevent suicide.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, look, guys, we are not so horrible as human beings,
There are good people in the world. I think that's really the kind of thing that I like to hear. Makes me feel good, you know, to know that the world has got some good people in it.
Mm.
But like a lot of people, I spent a little bit of time over the weekend listening to Linkin Park. God, aren't we just, it's sad how we don't know what we've got till it's gone. And I don't feel like that's the truth here, because I always used to listen to them anyway. I was a big fan of their music. Not all of their songs, it has to be said. Some of them were noisy. But songs like Shadow of the Day and Burn It Down Numb, obviously, and, you know, to me, those are just masterpieces. And Chester's voice was just extraordinary. We spoke about it on Friday morning. The guy just had a vocal range like you couldn't believe. There are not a lot of men who could sing like that. And I just, you know, Chris Cornell dying a little while ago, also the suicide.
And they were good friends.
I wonder what happens to these people. Do you think that they reach such levels of success that he had 5 kids or something, didn't he? Do you think that they just spin out? I mean, how does it work? Is depression, is it so awful that you feel so alone that you can't even take stock of what a life you have? I mean, you've got kids, you've got hopefully people who love you. Is it so debilitating that you think, wow, that the best thing for me to do right now is to take my own life?
See, that's why I believe it is like one of those illnesses that we maybe should give a lot more time to, because if you're having a bad day, right, and you want to be depressed, you get down on yourself, if you've got other things like kids, you've got money, you've got fame, you've got other things that might distract you from being upset, that will distract you. But if it's so overwhelmingly sore inside, that's not a choice. That's not a cry for help. That could be a lot more.
This is why I say it actually has nothing to do with your circumstances.
Yeah.
If you are a suicidal person or you're a depressed person, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or famous or not famous, you've got family or not family, you've got a relationship that's working or not. It's a clinical situation, and you don't see another option. Very, very hard.
Well, I saw a headline just over this past weekend about how depression among South African men is at its highest ever.
Really?
So
makes sense.
Well, one man in particular whose drone was
Yeah.
Not by the tree.
What do you mean it makes sense?
Well, look at the general flow of what's happening in this country, general morale.
Mm.
People are really upset. They're feeling like they're being slighted. They feel like they're not safe, more so than ever. Look at unemployment.
Yeah.
There's just a variety of aspects that you think just in this country alone where people will be.
They say that part of the reason that Trump won in America is because people are depressed.
Yeah.
And they're feeling bad. They don't feel like there's anything for them. Now, isn't that scary? That if you feel that way, you'll vote for Trump. Is that like suicide?
Well, see that, I'm sure your friend Debbie would say so.
See, it's scary to reach that point and not, you know, anger or frustration, because those emotions still give some level of action. You know, with depression, it's almost as if you are, in some cases, despondent, where you really don't care anymore, and it's just, oh well.
Well, I guess you also feel like you don't have any ways to express your upset feelings or whatever. So you've got no expression, so it'll become internal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a doctor, but I'm pretty sure that's a lot of depression.
It's very hard. I don't want to begin to, you know, try and delve into situations and expertise that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. And if you're dealing with this at the moment, if you are suffering from really serious depression, if you need to talk to somebody, get hold of SADAG. We've spoken to them before. The South African Depression and Anxiety Group, you can Google them and they will help you. They'll at least try to make you feel a little bit better and maybe talk you through some of the things that you can start doing to improve your life. And I'm sorry that it takes famous people to kill themselves for us to keep bringing this up. We try to keep it up on the show. It's something I know we feel very strongly about. Mental illness in general. So if you've got that in your diary, if you've got it on your phone, give them a call. There's some very good people there. All right, it is 6:30 and time for us to check in on the news. I apologize for my voice this morning. At least I have one. I didn't even have much of one yesterday. Here is Mabali Moloi with the latest in the news. And it's brought to you by Kilkakio's Pizzeria. Not just pizza, by the way. They got so much fantastic stuff that you'll do your head in.
Yeah, and like the versatility, Friday night I had a half and half.
Oh, you had some Kilkakio's Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night went out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after crashing my drone, I needed to be picked up, didn't I?
Right.
So a little half and half, which did look like, well, the whole menu was basically there. It was great.
Awesome. So go and check them out and tell them when you order at the counter, I heard you guys on cliffcentral.com, and thanks for the news. See if they get, if the person behind the counter goes, huh? All right, let's get into it.
Well, I don't know. You remember how last week the Daily Maverick reported that there was a faction within the ANC in support of the Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa to raise money in exchange for the president to step down.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, the presidency's Bongani Nkulunga came out and said, we're unaware of such reports.
Oh, really?
And then Zizi Kodwa also came out and said, no, there are no such negotiations in place which would see the president become richer by 2 billion rand.
Wow.
Well, that story has reared its ugly head again over the past weekend.
Then it must be true.
Well, where there's smoke, there's fire, isn't what they're saying is. So the Democratic Alliance are now saying that the suggestion that the ANC is considering amnesty for the president is outrageous and would be running this country into the ground. The DA is reaching to reports, or rather reacting to reports, that the ruling party has proposed that an amnesty deal should be granted to President Jacob Zuma. This would see his over 700 corruption charges against him being dropped, which, you know, a lot of people might take issue with. Or I don't know, maybe you're thinking at this point, it's fine as long as he just goes, even if he walks away free, it's fine.
It's like when you when you figure out you're out of love with your partner and you just want them out of your house. You're prepared to let them have all the stuff.
They can take half.
Right.
they can take more than half.
But it would be a fitting end for him. Like, it would really be the cherry on an already horrible top of a cake.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the DA is concerned, that move would prove that the ANC has been complicit in undermining the constitution yes. and condoning the abuse of power, which they say it undermines the rule of law. It would also be an insult to South Africa, and it would send out the message that there's one rule of law for the rich and politically connected.
Well, isn't there?
Well, it would seem that...
Isn't this what we talked about with Justice on Thursday with Dudu Zane Zuma?
Yeah, look, some of the politically connected have definitely made up the laws as they went along. I suppose if you're in a position of power, you can do that kind of thing and then get away with it. So yeah, the DA just coming out and saying, listen, if reports of this exit package are true, essentially, you know, they're not willing to just let it happen, so to speak.
Well, I mean, what would you like? Would you like him to just go?
I don't know that. I don't know that him going would. I mean, what about his far-reaching tentacles?
Exactly.
Within the organization, still, because he would still have a say in that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He'd still be pulling a string or two.
Plus, if you commit crime, you should go to jail.
Yes. Look at Brazil with them. You know, just the other day. One of their former presidents officially being charged with corruption and, you know, a court of law saying, yes, you have been corrupt.
Right.
Sentencing him to at least 9 years behind bars. So, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I did notice that Game of Thrones is trending this morning. It would because, you know, that whole US airtime scheduling thing. Mm. I don't know. What time do people wake up to watch Game of Thrones? I think it's 3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m. if you want to watch it at the same time as America.
Yes, so that's Game of Thrones land. Meanwhile, in Gupta land, brand new episode available in this series.
Oh, yeah?
It's now being reported that the Guptas approached several top law firms seeking advice on how to move tens of billions and billions and billions of rand to the United Arab Emirates.
Just move all of South Africa's money. How do we do it? How do we do it? How do we empty the country?
This was reported by Sunday Papers. The timing of the inquiry suggests that the controversial family tried to benefit from a treaty between South Africa and the Middle Eastern tax haven. It is the latest in a series of revelations in recent weeks showing the extent of the family's alleged dodgy deals. The Guptas reportedly approached Weber Wenzel, ENS Africa, and Hogan Lovells for advice on how to move their money.
Right.
But were met with refusals.
Oh, sure, because you don't want to be tainted with this name now.
No, you really don't
like
want to
be. All that stuff that KPMG had to field recently.
Yeah, I mean, any kind of association with the Guptas at this point is just too high risk. So then what they did was they went to UK and US firms, with the briefing being how an anonymous but prominent South African family, I'm sorry, could be assisted in moving cash.
But, I mean, if the UAE is taking all this money from them and allowing them to put it there, shouldn't we just declare war on the UAE? I mean, how can they be, because that's a kind of, it's like they're trespassing on our sovereignty. I mean, I wouldn't be, how can these people be our friends? I'm talking about the government of the United Arab Emirates, if they allow the Guptas to take all their ill-gotten cash and just put it there. We should make it impossible for these people to live anywhere on earth.
But the UAE are not complicit, are they?
No, but if they allow the criminal Guptas to have all their stuff taken into the UAE, then we should have a problem with them. Diplomatically.
But doesn't this have like a massive red flag to SARS, this kind of story, to even have a just little sniff around and go, oh, right. So you guys have many, many billions. Okay, just want to see where you got it.
Absolutely.
Just want to see that you've got all your I's dotted and T's ticked.
You would think.
So according to the Sunday Papers, the Guptas wanted to make sure that they benefited from the bilateral treaty between South Africa and the UAE. The treaty stops the South African Revenue Service, yes, SARS, from taxing high net worth individuals on their global incomes and assets should they become UAE residents. Ooh, there's a bit of a red tape situation here for SARS.
This sounds because, like someone had a few beers and wrote this up.
Because of the treaty that we have with the United Arab Emirates. SARS can't step in here at all.
This sounds very much like, this is just for me, this treaty. This isn't the greater good of the population kind of treaty.
Again, when you're in a position of power, you can make up the rules as you go along and have them suit you.
It's crazy, right?
It is that SARS cannot get involved.
Terrible. Mm. All right. Well, that's revolting.
In a word.
Yeah. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. It's Monday morning, cliffcentral.com. Ben, what do you have for us today?
Well, Gareth, the Open was amazing.
I started saying, you know, that I watched some golf. I heard people booing.
No, not at all. There was a guy called Matt Kuchar, and whenever he is in play, they'll go, Kuch.
Oh, is that what it was?
And wow, what a tough round for Kuch yesterday. So he was the only guy that could essentially catch Jordan Spieth, right? Mm-hmm. So Jordan Spieth shot 65, 69, 65, took a 3-shot lead into the final day. And Kuch was 3 shots back, and the rest were, well, they were just far too far back. Brandon Grace was, I think, 7 back, and he had a 62 on Saturday. 62, the lowest score ever in a major championship. The South African did it, well, just nonchalantly, really. Huh. So it was Spieth to lose, basically. It was Spieth. Everyone was thinking, only if he goes full pro tier will he actually lose this. And he started off bogey, par, bogey, bogey. So suddenly, everything was back in it. So Kuch was on the money. Like, so Matt Kuch has been thereabouts for quite some time now. He's getting on in age, but he's such a consistent performer. He does really well on the weekends on big tournaments. Some people say he's a backdoor specialist because he'll be nowhere and then suddenly he'll just come out at the end. He did that to get the Olympic bronze medal and many, many majors. He'll just have a sneaky top 10. Backdoor specialist. Uh-huh. So he was right there front and center, and things were, well, Jordan Spieth was looking very shaky. He then bogeyed the ninth, and then on 13 he hit it so far right that it took them an age to find the ball.
He was rummaging around behind cars and things.
Yeah, he then had to deem his ball unplayable, so he had to then drop it another sort of 100 yards to the right. So he was essentially on the middle of the driving range trying to get back onto the golf course at one stage. And that held play up for about 25 minutes. Kuch was in the middle of the fairway. He had a good chance of birdie. He was actually waiting in the cold for 25 minutes while Spieth went and found his ball.
Made all
the so everyone does feel for Kuch, but you got to think the champion that this 23-year-old is, Jordan Spieth. He followed that up with a birdie, then an eagle, and then 2 more birdies. So he went from down and out, biggest choke in Open history coming up. John van der Velde, Adam Scott, it was all coming back. And Spieth just said, not on my watch. 2-3-3-4, that was his score. He then parred the 18th, 1-under 69 for the final day. And he ended up winning by a comfortable 3 shots in the end. Amazing champion. This guy's 23, Gareth. He's won 3 of the 4 majors.
Right.
23 years old.
That's and he's bloody amazing.
One major away from creating from the Grand Slam.
That really is amazing.
Absolutely incredible talent. And you look at him and you think his golf swing's not great. He's got the slappy action. He's also losing hair like me. So you look at him and go, this guy can't be that great. But he is. He's just absolutely amazing. And his game may not give him the sort of fanfare that a Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy will get. But the guy's the real deal. And at 23... amazing. Really, really simply amazing. In the Super Rugby, that was this weekend. So eventually the best teams have now gone through. So the Brumbies hosted the Hurricanes because of virtue of the whole log thing. And they were beaten soundly 16-35. The Crusaders, they took on the Highlanders. And in dreadful weather conditions, there was terrible floods in Crusaders land over the weekend. That Christchurch, you don't want to live there, huh?
They have the earthquake?
If God's not trying to kill you with the earthquakes, then he's just trying to wash you out to sea.
And it's particularly mean of God if he's a Christian God, because he's doing that to a place called Christ Church, two of his favorite things.
Exactly. The irony here is just far too much to handle. So 17-0, Crusaders were leading at halftime, dominant display. The rain came down. It wasn't the greatest occasion. Not a big crowd. 17-0, it stayed, so they go through. Then the Lions, they were taking on the Sharks, and everyone was thinking the Lions are going to kick into the next gear here. Well, they didn't. The only thing kicking in was Ruan Combrink from about 55 meters, and it took a long penalty from the Springbok utility back to actually win it for the Lions at the end. 23-21, coach Robert Aprea from the Sharks was absolutely livid afterwards. He decided that the officiating wasn't up to scratch, and many would agree with him. So the Sharks, they were never going to win in the semifinals because they would have to travel to the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Kind of fitting that they did actually lose, really, because the Lions, they're now playing at home, so if they win their semi, they have a home final too. But you got to kind of look on those, on the back of those matches. The Crusaders are very, very much the favorites. Then it was the Stormers against the Chiefs. Well, and we all know the Stormers, they get to a playoff game and they lose. Exactly what they did here. They had many, many chances, but they should have played with much bigger balls during the time when Sam Kane was off the field. They played all tentatively. They didn't take on the advantage. And eventually they lost 17-11. So predictable in the end. Stormers go out. So the quarterfinals, so the semifinals will be the Chiefs versus the Crusaders, played at Christchurch, if there's anything left of Christchurch by Saturday. And then the Lions will host the Hurricanes. But I'll give you a full rundown of that with all the other necessary information that you may need. In the Curry Cup, which started this weekend. Now the Curry Cup nowadays, which used to be such a great deal, it's now essentially a full-strength Cheetahs team beating a whole bunch of small kids from other teams. That's pretty much what the Curry Cup is.
Wow, what a
waste.
Because
the Sharks aren't going to have their best players playing there because they've just been playing Super Rugby. The Lions are still in Super Rugby. Western Province are going to rest their box, no doubt. So the Cheetahs, well, they'll just keep winning. First game up, 47-12, they hammered the Sharks. Then the Griquas and the Pumas and teams like that, well, they'll be competitive too. So the Griquas narrowly went down to the Blue Bulls 45-51 in a high-scoring thriller in Kimberley. And then on Sunday, the Pumas beat the Golden Lions 43-36.
Do you have to say it like that, the Pumas?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Because that's how the commentators say it. Because
right.
I think they're the Stierfall Pumas. Because it's an Afrikaans big cat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, meows differently.
Pumas.
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
In the women's cricket, it was the big finale of the weekend, England versus India. And England, well, they got up to a bit of a shaky start. They only posted 228 for 7. Indian women restricted them with some very good bowling and then put them to the sword with the bat. But then came the dreaded C word. Yep. The women choked it up so badly, the Indian women. They were going so well at 191 for 4 in the 43rd over. All they needed was 229. But then they lost a wicket at 196, they lost a wicket at 200, they lost a wicket at 201, they lost a wicket at 218, another one at 218, and the final, I mean, it was like these women were drunk. You should have seen it, the highlights were just terrible. They were standing there at the crease like they had no intention of hitting the ball. I don't know if they were pulling a Hansi, but whatever it was, they just lost the ability to play cricket. The English women, though, they thought, screw that, we're going to keep running through them, and eventually that was it. Big win for the English team. They now win this one, which is really great because the men's team is kind of, you know, a bit doddery at the moment. They will be back in action against the Proteas on Thursday as the next test. It'll be the 100th test ever played at the Oval. And Gareth, that is pretty much it for the big sports. I'm sure there was some football sometime happening over the weekend, but at the moment it's all these preseason things where you'll get a Manchester derby in America. Doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
Not really.
Not at all.
Oh, Chris Froome, yeah, he won the Tour de France.
Oh, that's nice of you to mention.
Almost
that.
Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And 11 days until the IAAF World Champs.
Okay.
That is like the big deal.
All right,
that's Usain Bolt's, Usain Bolt's final competition, final chance to see Usain Bolt. London, IAAF World Championships. But of course, Wade van Niekerk in the 400, Akani Simbini in the 100, Wade van Niekerk also in the 200, and then Carson Semenya will be dominating in the 800.
Very nice.
So much to look out for.
All right.
So
how many days left?
11, sir.
Oh, 11.
Tomorrow, it'll be 10.
Okay. Ah, that's how a countdown works.
You miss nothing here.
All right. It is time for us to check in on the money. Salejo's actually here for Anthea this morning. Hey, Salejo, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks,
cool.
Gareth.
Nice to see you in studio for a change. All right. So where do we begin? There's quite a lot to talk about market-wise. Friday was fantastic. Another good day.
Yeah, I thought we'd start off with the platinum sector.
Yeah.
Because Lonmin had quite a crazy week. I think Anthea may have touched on it a bit last week, but
yes.
I thought we'd go into a bit more depth. So Lonmin was up about 40% last week, and that was due to what looks like a bit of a short squeeze. So we know that.
How does that work?
Okay, so usually when investors sell a share short, they're obviously betting that the share will go down rather than go up.
Right.
But in some cases, when a lot of the shares of a company are held by short sellers and then that company comes out with good news, short sellers will then buy the share quickly to, in essence, cover their short. So to stop being short, they'll buy out their share, close out the position. And because of that, if you have a lot of short sellers buying the share to close out at the same time, then the share can pop quite quickly.
Right. Okay.
So that's what it looked like happened with Lonmin last week. I mean, on Monday, they released the report and it was up 15% on Monday, roughly another 15% the next day, 10% the next day. So it looks like a lot of short sellers just looked at this production report, which for them was relatively positive. And they said, for now, I think the short case isn't as compelling as it was. So we're getting out.
Right.
So the basic thesis for Lonmin on the short side is that they have roughly, well, after this report on our numbers, roughly 30 months of liquidity left.
And then they're out of business.
We assume the PIC will probably
bail them out.
Yeah, bail them out again. But this is the interesting thing now for the platinum industry at large is roughly 172,000 people are employed in South Africa in the platinum industry.
So while all the environmentalists are getting excited about the end of petrol and diesel cars, because obviously they want a cleaner atmosphere, the people who have jobs in the platinum sector are hoping that it stays exactly the way it is, because that's their employment, that's all they've got.
Yeah, and for us as a country, I mean, 70% of the world's platinum is produced here.
Yeah.
So this is huge for us.
It'll hit us hard.
Yeah. And it's actually quite ironic because, I mean, one of the big champions of the electric car movement is Elon Musk. So we could end up having a South African putting multiple South Africans...
Putting the nails in the coffin of the platinum business.
Yeah, and obviously that's not his intention. He's just focused on sustainable energy.
Sure.
But if we compare Lonmin to Anglo-American Platinum,
right?
So they're the biggest platinum maker in the world. They produce about 2.4 million ounces every year.
Gee.
They're roughly break even. So they've said they're going to make between R2.10 and R3.35 for the first half of this year. And the share price is R311.
Uh-huh.
So if you annualize that range they gave, let's say they do R5 or R6 and you have a share price at 311, that's a 50 or 60 times PE for the share. And then you ask yourself, okay, well, why is the market willing to pay so much for a share that's basically making no money? It's because the market's pricing in much higher platinum prices.
Oh, okay. But with all the news coming in now, that's not necessarily going
to
happen.
Exactly. I mean, we're seeing Volvo have said from, I think, 2020, they're not going to produce any more internal combustion engines. We're seeing a lot of European cities saying they don't want any more diesel vehicles being produced or bought in their cities. So there's a lot of negative sentiment around the platinum industry.
What about these batteries that you mentioned Elon Musk before, Tesla and the batteries that they're trying to put in to the electric cars? I mean, is there major improvement going on there? Do you think that'll eventually be the replacement?
Yes. So battery prices are coming down really significantly year on year. One of the ways that people are trying to benefit from this move to electric vehicles is by buying lithium ion, by buying ETFs that give you exposure to the actual price.
Right.
Because Tesla, for example, have said that they want to produce as much lithium ion themselves as the world produced every year in 2013.
Wow.
And then you have Chinese battery makers that are also building these so-called gigafactories, which just produce tons of lithium ion. So that's one potential way to try benefit from this move to electric vehicles.
All right, let's talk about some of the results from the Facebooks, Amazons, Netflix, and Googles, which you call the FANGs.
Yeah, Jim Cramer of CNBC coined it the FANGs. These are pretty much the darlings of the U.S. stock market. If you compare, the U.S. stock market's done 10% year-to-date in 2017, and these four shares, that's Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, has done 40%. It's really outrun the market. And if you just think about it on how it's impacted our lives. If I look at my life, you know, Facebook, I use WhatsApp, Instagram, maybe not Facebook so much. Amazon, I order a lot of stuff off Amazon. Netflix, I mean,
big time.
Yeah, I like to chill.
and Google, obviously, every day as well.
Yeah, YouTube, Google.
Right.
I use Google. I was driving like a madman to get here, and I wouldn't have got here on time if it wasn't for Google Maps. So the disruption that these companies are engaging is pretty significant.
Yeah. Now, good for them. So how do the reports look?
So first up, Facebook. We're looking for 40% revenue growth versus 2016. And that's pretty significant if you think that...
That sounds very high.
It is. It's quite mind-boggling because they did $27 billion in revenue for 2016. So we're looking for $9 billion just for this quarter to the end of June.
Wow.
And they doubled their monthly active user counts to about 2 billion users. That's 4 years ago, it was 1 billion users. So, I mean, it's... Facebook at this point is pretty ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And even if you try, you know, sometimes we have people who are like, "Ugh, I'm staying away from social media. I'm not going to use Facebook. I'm not going to use Instagram." Like my sister's kind of like that. Even then, you're still going to end up using WhatsApp.
Yeah.
You can't really escape them.
So they are in your life whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have Amazon reporting on Thursday. There we're expecting about 20% revenue growth, but that's off a higher base. So that's going to be about $37 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But earnings is expected to fall quite significantly. That's because they're investing very heavily. So that it's going to impact the income statement. They did acquire Whole Foods earlier this year.
Right.
And throughout the year, basically, whenever Amazon sneezes towards a market, that whole sector of the market gets destroyed in terms of share prices.
Wow.
So we saw that with auto parts suppliers, the likes of AutoZone and O'Reilly Automotive in the States, which supply auto parts. There were hints that Amazon were going to get into that market, and then those share prices were down 5, 10, 15%.
Mm.
It's something that we continue to see. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the likes of Amazon impacts South Africa and South African retailing. I mean, we have seen it to an extent, but I don't think we've seen it to the same extent that we've seen it happen in the States.
Well, I mean, certainly online shopping has become a thing in South Africa.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's growing year on year very, very nicely. But then you've got to ask, you know, delivery and that kind of thing is still a problem in some parts of this country.
And internet penetration. Yeah.
And internet penetration. But also, if you're ordering stuff on Amazon overseas, to get it in is such a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've also got Amazon Prime, where you pay roughly $100 a year, and you get 2-day shipping and Prime Video, that kind of thing. They've actually got 80 million households now in the States using Amazon Prime.
Wow!
So a New York marketing professor, New York University marketing professor, came out with some interesting stats. That's 63% of U.S. households. To put that into perspective, 51% of U.S. households attend church, 49% have a landline phone, and 44% own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So Prime is becoming pretty, you know, ubiquitous as well. I guess that's the major theme of the Fangs, is that they're taking over our lives.
Yeah, we can't get away from them.
Yeah.
All right, very, very nice. Is there anything else you want to throw in?
Sure, yes. So Netflix reported last week. They're also part of the Fangs. They have subscribers of 100 million people now, which is also quite significant.
Wow.
And only 50 million of those are in the States. So it is becoming an international business. But what's very interesting is that they're burning through a lot of cash to acquire this hip, awesome content, which is great. It is great content.
I mean, but I think it's costly.
It is costly. So they spent $600 million over the 3 months to the end of June, or they lost $300 in terms of free cash flow.
Yeah.
$600 million.
Oh, right.
And year to date in 2017, they've lost $1 billion on a free cash flow basis.
Yo, you spend a lot to get the good content, hey?
Yeah, wow. I guess it's that saying of it takes money to make money. I guess the jury's still out on whether they're...
Still, you'd rather be them than Lonman.
Yeah, much rather be them than Lonman, for sure.
All right.
And then I guess just a wrap of the economic indicators this morning.
Cool.
So we have the Rand dollar at 12.91. Brent crude oil is still at about $48 a barrel. That's still under pressure from... OPEC numbers last week. Gold's at $1,254 an ounce. That's helped by weak inflation data globally. Platinum, which we've spoken about, is at $937 an ounce. And then markets have generally ended lower in Asia this morning. So in Japan, they were down about 0.8%. In Australia, down 1.1%. And then markets in China and Hong Kong ended slightly higher.
Very good. Thank you, Salehu.
Thanks, Gareth.
Cool. Selego Tsatsi is here with us this morning, standing in for Anthea, and good to have him in the studio for a change. All right, here's what you need to know. If you're ready for another night of drinks, popcorn, fun with the CliffCentral.com crew, then join us for our exclusive movie screening. It's been called one of the best movies of the year and beyond awesome by critics. We're talking about Baby Driver, a new movie which hits cinemas on the 4th of August, but which you can see first and for free at a special CliffCentral.com and Auto Central listeners screening. The story is about a 20-something, it's a guy, right?
Yes.
Called Baby. Basically, do anything he wants in a car. As long as he's got tunes playing on his iPod, he's hired as a getaway driver for a crew of bank robbers, which includes Jamie Foxx and Kevin Spacey. When Baby meets the girl of his dreams, he's determined to give up his life of crime. But after being coerced into working one last job, he finds himself taking part in a heist that is doomed to fail. Stylish, exciting, and fueled by a killer soundtrack, Baby Driver is the movie you don't want to miss. Join us on Thursday, the 27th of July at the Sturkinikor Sand City, 7:30 p.m. Email events at cliffcentral.com to get your hands on tickets. Do it ASAP. It's coming up this week. Are we sold out yet?
We are sold out. So maybe if I can squeeze in any more people, or maybe if we have dropouts, then...
All right, we'll put you on the waiting list.
Yeah, provisional email situations will work for tickets.
Thank you very much, Sia. Okay, I suppose we better get cracking with this morning. We've got a lot to do. Who is our guest later on, Sia? Why don't you give us a little forecast of what we can expect on this show a little bit later on?
Yes, I shall. So we know and love her from Freshly Ground. It's the lead singer, Zolani Mahola.
Very nice. Okay.
And yes.
She's apparently doing a musical.
She's doing a full-on theatre production. It's called Calling Me Home. It's going to debut at the Joburg Theatre a little later on this month. They're doing some awesome things. They're changing up the format of what the theatre production really means. As well. So yeah, there's a new single as well from Freshly Ground. So she's a busy, busy lady. Mother of two, married as well, making it from Cape Town to Joburg and vice versa. It's cool stuff and an awesome conversation to be had.
Fantastic. You don't want to miss any of that. That's coming up a little bit later on. CliffCentral.com. Let's go. Let's get your day going. Let's start it properly.
This is CliffCentral.com.